Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, for he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I propose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke this morning, the 13th chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 9. Let us listen for God's word to us this morning. At that very time, there were some present who told him, that's Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And he replied, "Well, sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Well, after all the celebration last week of Kirkin of the Tartans, welcome back to Lent. Yes, we are still in the Lenten season. We are still in that season that mingles the ashes of the palms. And this morning we have two scripture readings, one from Isaiah and one from the Gospel of Luke, that draw us back into the introspection, back into the examination of Lent. I've said for many years, and you've heard me say it, that when we are celebrating Advent, I have said that the first word of Christmas, of Advent, is fear not. Do not be afraid, is the first word of Advent. Well, I've come around to think that if there is a first word for Lent, that word is repent. Repentance. Both of our scriptures today are about repentance. And you've heard me say some of this before, but repentance in the New Testament comes from a compound word, metanoia. And if we break down this compound word, the first thing we have is the preposition meta. And meta has several different meanings in Greek, but it basically means after and beyond. Take the word metaphysical, for example. That means beyond the physical, after the physical. The second half of this word, metanoia, is the Greek verb. So you have a preposition mixed with a verb. And that verb is noio. And this verb means to perceive, to think. Now, in its noun form, it could be or the result of thinking or perceiving. So we put these two words together, meta, after, beyond, and noio, which is to think or perceive. And what we have is beyond thinking, after thinking, beyond knowing. Now, sometimes we kind of simplify this and say that repentance is basically changing perspective. It's changing our thoughts. It's changing our mind. It's changing the way we think and know. Repentance is also changing the way we see ourselves in the world. It is to see ourselves as beyond our rational minds, beyond knowing. And when we get beyond knowing, we start thinking about what's in our heart. What do we feel? What do we believe? And if we extend this idea of repentance into beyond knowing, into our hearts, it could be perceived as a change of heart. Not just a change of mind and a change of thought, but a change of heart. And a change of heart is not just rational, but it is internal and transformative. Repentance. And I got to thinking about this first word of Lent. and the first word of Advent. And if the first word of Advent is don't be afraid, if we say don't be afraid, we're asking you to change your perspective. Change your thoughts. Change your way of thinking about the situation or the circumstance. Change your heart. Don't be afraid. And so this appeal to not be afraid is actually this act of repentance. And so the first words of Advent and the first words of Lent in many ways are the same thing, and they lie at the core of the gospel. And they're at the core of these two scripture readings we read this morning. First, let's look at this Luke reading. This is one of the few places in the Gospels where Jesus actually talks about current events of his time. Jesus is usually talking in parables. He's usually teaching in the Gospels. But here, he's actually talking about some current events. And one of these events is brought up by the people to whom he is teaching. And they want to know, what about the Galileans whose blood was mixed with their sacrifices? I want you to think about that for a minute, because what that is telling us is the Romans killed some Galileans while they were worshiping in the temple, because that's where the blood of the sacrifices are. And their blood was mixed with the blood of the sacrifices. These Galileans were murdered while they were worshiping in their temple. Now, how contemporary can that be? We're only 2 weeks away from 50 people being murdered in their place of worship. We could very well be asking the same questions today. Well, Jesus, what about those 50 Muslims worshiping in their place of worship? What about them? We're asking those questions today. People whose blood has been mixed with their worship. And then Jesus says, well, I guess you're wondering what these people did to deserve that, aren't you? You know, we live in this world that we have created that we think is a transactional world. We bring events together all the time and say, because this happened, and because this was said, this was done. We work in this transactional world because anytime something happens, we have to come up with a reason for it happening. We use phrases like this all the time. When something happens good in somebody's life or our own lives, we use little phrases like, oh, well, they must be living right. Something bad happens, oh my gosh, what have they done to deserve this? Even the declaration that, oh, nobody deserves that, back behind it is there's a reason. And this is the transactional world that the people to whom Jesus is speaking are living in. It's the transactional world that we live in. We're always looking for a reason. We're always asking why. I've said for years that why is basically a useless question. Because why has no answer to it. Now, if we start asking how and what, we can come up with some answers to that. But why? We're always looking for a reason for things to happen. And Jesus puts this to rest pretty quickly and emphatically. He says, you think these people sinned more than other people, and that's why they got killed. And the text, it says, no. He doesn't elaborate. All he says is, no, this is not true. People do not die because they're good or because they're bad. People die. We all die. But it's not because we're good or we're bad. It may be because of other circumstances. But it's not because of our perceptions of good and evil. And Jesus tells us this. But he follows this up. And in both cases, he himself brings up the story about people dying because a tower fell on them. I won't even extend that metaphor any further than just saying 9/11. Both of these little stories of current events that Jesus relates to are very, very contemporary. And Jesus says to them, no, it's not because these people are sinners. And then he follows up with this, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. As they did. But remember, he's already told us that it's not because they were sinners or not sinners. So what's he talking about here? I don't think there's a definitive answer, but I think we can explore this a little bit and say that perhaps he's saying, as they did, is that they died as everyone will die. They died unexpectedly. They died when they didn't know they were going to die. And this is so true. Even when we know we're going to die, we never know when that last breath is going to be. So, as they did, might just be a simple little phrase that pulls us all together in this thing we call death and say, we're all going to die. But what's this, unless you repent, you will perish. Just as they, unless you repent? Perhaps Jesus is telling us, unless we change our way of thinking about death, we are always going to be afraid of death. And we're always going to treat death transactionally. And we're always going to say, we die because we did this or because we thought this. But unless we change our way of thinking, unless we repent, unless we change our hearts about death, then we will not fully live. Let me say that again. Unless we have a change of heart about death, we can never truly live. And that brings us around to Isaiah. Isaiah is also about repentance. And just in case you didn't catch it, because it doesn't say repentance, it's buried in the English translation, way down in that passage, in the verse that says, where Isaiah says to the people, "Return to the Lord." That's repentance in the Old Testament. Return to the Lord. Change your perspective. Change your heart. Change the way you are living. Return to the Lord. And this beautiful passage in Isaiah basically tells us that when we return to the Lord, when we repent, that life changes. And it's described in the first five verses of that passage that Kathy read to us. I like to imagine this passage, the first part of it, as being kind of like a carnival barker. You've been to a carnival before and seen the carnival barker out by the sideshow? You know, the stereotype of that is, "Yowza, yowza, step right in. One thin dime and you'll see," whatever it is. But this is sort of like a carnival barker. This thing starts off with the word "ho." That's a very emphatic saying, "Listen, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, step right up, come buy and eat, come buy milk and wine without money, without price." This is a way of life that provides. This is a way of life where nobody is left out. You don't need money. Step right up. It's free. This is God's creation, and there's plenty for everybody. And this is the description of what the world is like when we return to the Lord. When we have a change of heart, when we repent. And then we have that phrase that Jeff spoke about in the time with the children, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. My ways are higher than heaven, and your ways are down on the earth." But Isaiah has just told us that if we turn to the Lord, things are going to be different. That we will actually experience the way of the Lord. That we will live in this way of the Lord. That we will live in the thoughts of the Lord. And then he says, "Oh, but they're much, so much higher than you." I'm going to suggest to us this morning that this doesn't mean that the way of the Lord is unattainable. Think about that for a minute. What kind of God would sit over and apart a creation and then tell that creation, "Oh, I'm sorry, you'll never make it"? It's not unattainable. We find the way of the Lord by returning to the way of the Lord, by remembering who we are, that we are created in God's image. And Jesus takes it even further and says, I am in God, and God is in me, and you are in us. And Paul takes it a step further and says, you are to be transformed. And this is amazing what he says. And have the mind of Christ. The transformation of repentance is to have the mind, the thoughts, the heart of Christ. That's exemplary in the life of Jesus. And notice I make a distinction there. When Paul talks about Christ, Paul is talking about the eternal presence of the essence of life from the beginning of creation. Jesus is a fleshly manifestation of the Christ. The Gospel of John calls it the Word that was with us in the beginning, from the moment of the beginning of creation. And we can have the mind of Christ. By changing our hearts, transforming our thoughts, and in turn, changing our ways. This whole idea, this whole dynamic of repentance is real. It's at the core of the gospel. The very first thing John the Baptist says is repent. Jesus comes right behind him saying repent. Change our ways. And have the mind of Christ. And when we have the mind of Christ, it doesn't mean that everything is okay and we look past tragedies in our world and in our lives. But we find the presence of Christ and the peace of Christ in and through and around meta everything. Perhaps it's not a coincidence that in this latest tragedy in our world that this group of Muslims are murdered in a mosque in a city named Christchurch. That might just be a reminder to all of us that no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much fear it instills, no matter how much pain it causes, whatever happens in our lives, in our world, is within the presence of Christ. And we are called to hold all that together. And we are called to a transformative perspective of repentance during Lent. Amen. All week long, there's been a message on our church marquee, just in case you haven't noticed it. The message said, it's a paraphrase of a paraphrase. The original quote comes from a general that I can't recall his name right now. I think in the war of 1812. And his quote was, "We have met the enemy and they are ours." Well, the cartoonist who drew the strip Pogo took that and changed it around and said, "We have met the enemy and he is us." And I just slightly changed that and said, "We have met the enemy and they are us." We laugh at that. But what the gospel tells us is that is so true. The only thing we can change in the world, the only thing that we can change is us. And that's what repentance is all about. And when we change our thoughts, when we change our heart, the world begins to look differently. And the world changes. This is not voodoo. It's not magic. It's real. It's the core of the gospel. Repent. Take care of yourself and see what happens. Amen.